Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hanging out in the Kia Studios. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app's how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 the game at JMCH316 at the D Lewis for real. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to my friend Chris Goforth as he is live in Nashville, SEC Media Days. And of course, Chris, Lord Saban was front and center today. How was the crowd, the throng of people? I mean, obviously, you know, it's a whole different atmosphere in Hoover when Saban shows up and, you know, there's deities and, you know, the Pope is there and, you know, everything else. But what was the crowd like with Saban today?
John, I will say this. Now, today was the first day that I have actually seen fans in the lobby of the hotel. And I haven't seen that for the last, you know, I thought there might be a couple of people here with it being in Nashville. I thought maybe there would be a couple of people here for Clark Lee and Vanderbilt the other day, but you know, I didn't see anybody, but there were a couple of people. There were a handful of folks, when I got in this morning, around, I guess, 8 o'clock Central Time, there were, you know, maybe a dozen or so that had gathered, but that's been the first, that's been the first time I've seen fans, which, and you're right, it's much different than Hoover where, you know, they would hold, you know, there would be a large group of people that would chant Roll Tide and whoop and holler, anytime Alabama was, you know, an Alabama player or Saban was seen.
Well, maybe it's because Harvey Updike is no longer with us, so we don't see all that. So, Chris Goforth is on Twitter, by the way, at ChrisGoforth1, as he joins us here from Nashville at SEC Media Days. You know, it's going to be interesting, Chris, because, you know, next year, obviously, the SEC, like a lot of these conferences, is going divisionless, you know. And, you know, again, the old saying is, you don't have to be one, just be number two. Right? I mean, and, you know, I wonder, you know, look, there's no doubt that Georgia is the top dog in the conference, and I don't think they're stepping off that pedestal anytime soon. I don't care what everybody else does around. They're the big dog right now. But, you know, at times there have been years where Alabama's just completely kicked the crap out of everybody, but there have also been times where Alabama has gotten into the SEC title game because – and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they beat the right teams, right? I mean, they found ways to win the right games on their schedule. And, you know, I wonder going divisionless, you know, if teams start to feel like that maybe there's an opening to you know, get, you know, break into that top two with Georgia and Alabama. I wonder if that's kind of the mindset that, you know, again, not this year, but certainly going into next year, if teams maybe feel like, okay, maybe there's going to be an opening here coming up in the SEC.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's going to be determined on how the schedules fall. You know, A, do we stay with an eight-game conference schedule? Does it go to nine? Who are your permanent opponents going to be? And what does that rotation look like so that, you know, if you're, you know, let's say a Missouri, who are your permanent opponents going to be, and how many years can you get away without having to face an LSU or an Alabama or a Georgia over the next, you know, 4 years or whatever. So I think that's going to have something to do with it too. And I still don't know that they really know what this thing's going to look like going forward. That eight-game schedule of conference play, that's just in effect for next year. They'll have to set this up again come 2025. And it's, you know, a lot of people think that by the time we get to 2025, we'll end up being at nine SEC conference games. But you're right, it's going to be a race to get up there to be number one or number two in the conference. I think it's going to be strange. I like the divisions. I think it's going to be strange when it goes away. And there's a, you know, this is, I mean, gosh, between the transfer portal and the, you know, name, image, and likeness and the changes that are happening there, the SEC doing away with divisions, the SEC moving away from CBS after this year, Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference, there's just so much change right now in college football that's either happening or is going to happen in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously the biggest change in my lifetime. I think the only other time was, you know, in that era where the NCAA got defeated in the Supreme Court for opening up TV contracts, and then they started. Then they went to what was it? Then when they went to the scholarship reductions, when they actually put 83 scholarships in place, right? I mean, where Alabama couldn't just load up 140 kids, you know, on their roster just to keep kids away from everybody. You know, I think those were the two big sea changes in my lifetime until now. I mean, you know, now it's like, you know, again, it's, I don't want to say it's becoming professional, but, you know, again, they're being treated more like adults than at any other time in the history of college football.
Well, and to that point, John, Nick Saban said it today when he was asked about the transfer portal. He said, "I use the transfer portal the same way the NFL uses free agency." He said, "We're going out and using it to go out and plug holes." I talked with Bill Hancock, the executive director of the college football playoff, and he kind of drew parallels between college football and the NFL in terms of the playoff system and the changes that are coming that way. So I think you're right. I think the comparison there to some sort of professional model, whether it's the NFL or whoever, probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, and you know, Chris, we've talked for years on the college football show. You know, I've always been a fan of free agency. I've always been a fan of, you know, for lack of a better term, free agency in the world of college football. Because again, if coaches can do their thing, why can't players have some of the same freedoms and stuff like that? So I love that part of it. Sam Pittman, another guy that we love, you know, got a chance to speak, you know, today. So, you know, they're going to be an interesting team because, you know, obviously they, for the last 2 years, they've really gotten off to good starts, you know, both in their non-conference schedule and, you know, starting in their conference schedule. But, you know, it's been 2 years where they fade down the stretch. And, you know, a couple years ago they got to number 10, I think, and then Georgia drubbed them. And, you know, again, they've been there kind of on the cusp, but it definitely feels like that they have to at some point kind of finish the same way that they start.
Yeah, I think that's been the issue for them. I think part of the problem for Arkansas too is going to be able to stay healthy. I think what kind of maybe separates them from some of the better teams in the conference, I think 1 through 11, Arkansas is pretty good. And I think, you know, Sam Pittman does a good job. They have an identity. You know who Arkansas is. The problem is when you have to go 12 through 20 or 12 through 22 on that depth chart, I think that's where Arkansas finds themselves running into some problems.
Yeah, and, you know, look, they've got their quarterback back this year with KJ Jefferson. You know, arguably, he's one of the probably, I don't know, maybe next to Jaden Daniels, he might be the best returning starting quarterback, you know, in the conference. I mean, you know, again, those are big things for Arkansas. I mean, it may not be the same, you know, when you talk about a returning, you know, quarterback. I mean, that's always big when you can start, you know, at that position. But for certainly a program like Arkansas, when you've got a guy that's got that kind of skill set and experience, like, those are big deals for programs like Arkansas to be able to return a guy at that kind of level.
There's only five teams in the conference this year that are bringing quarterbacks back. You mentioned, too, you know, of course, you referenced Nick Saban being here today. That was one of the things that Saban said. He said, we, there has not been any separation between these three quarterbacks, and we don't feel the pressure right now to be able to name anybody the starter. So that battle is going to go on. I think two of the more interesting things to watch today, or at least in the conference this year, will be Devin Leary coming over from NC State and the impact that he can have, and then Graham Mertz coming from Wisconsin and the impact that he can possibly have. Those are two guys now, and I know Leary was hurt part of last year, but 2 years ago, he's played a lot during his time at NC State, and Mertz has played like 2,000 snaps at Wisconsin. So the impact those guys can have coming in at Florida and Kentucky, I think that's going to be one of the bigger storylines to watch, especially as we try to figure out what this conference is once you get away from, you know, Jaden Daniels and KJ Jefferson at quarterback.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Chris, because when you and I were here at SEC Media Days last year, you know, you and I kind of just talked, you know, to one another about, you know, some of these coaches that are in the conference. I mean, whether it's Shane Beamer, who's going to speak tomorrow, I guess, whether it was Mark Stoops. I mean, you know, I know it's got Saban and, you know, Kirby, but, boy, when you look at just even sort of the mid programs, the Sam Pittmans, the guy from Tennessee, guy in my brain.
Josh Heupel.
Yeah, Josh Heupel. I mean, there are, and Mark Stoops. I mean, there are some really good coaches at some of these, you know, mid-level types of programs. And, again, I know that's probably sounds like it's a shot, but, you know, again, let's face it. I mean, nobody's Alabama and Georgia right now. But,
right. Well,
you know,
look at LSU with Brian Kelly.
Right, right. I mean, just there are so many good coaches through that middle layer of the SEC. And, you know, like I said, you and I kind of joked about it last year, just, you know, gosh, I mean, you want to run through a wall for Shane Beamer or a Mark Stoops or guys like that. I mean, these guys are really good coaches, and it will be interesting to see, because I love Devin Leary. I mean, I was on the NC State bandwagon, you know, last year.
Oh, I know.
I thought that they could really be some until, you know, Leary goes down, and by the end of the year, they'd played six quarterbacks. I mean, so, again,
right.
you're not going to win at college football playing six quarterbacks. But it is going to be fascinating. And obviously, Will Levis was a high draft pick, so Leary's looking at a situation like that. But there's a lot of good coaches that players want to come play for through those mid-teams.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, you know, how do you rank these coaches now? You know, obviously Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, however you want to put them, are going to be at the top of that list. I think Brian Kelly at LSU is going to be up towards the top. And then you get down to those guys that you've referenced in the Josh Heupels and the Mark Stoops and the Sam Pittman. The two guys this year, when we talk about, you know, the possibility of the hot seat at the end of the year, Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. And the other guy for me that, and he talked a little bit about this indirectly today, but it's Billy Napier at Florida.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Napier talked about, and the cut is there if you want to play it tonight, but he talks about the difference in being a Group of Five head coach and being a Power Five head coach, and how the recruiting cycle is escalated when you're at the Power Five. You've got to be able to evaluate and determine whether or not you want to offer a kid so much quicker at the Power Five level. And he said that's one of the things they've had to adapt to, which I think really has to make you a little bit concerned going forward with Florida and Billy Napier, who's a Georgia kid. I hope he, you know, I'd love to see him do well there, but I think there's some real red flags around that Florida program.
Well, and you know, again, I know he was an analyst at Alabama, and I think what he coached, I think he coached their wide receivers for a few years, but you know, he's not necessarily an SEC guy, and we talk about this all the time that, you know, the SEC really loves to hire their own guys. I mean, that they you know, it's almost incestuous. I mean, they, once you get in the SEC coaching circles, you know, you really find a job for life. I don't care if you're Will Muschamp or anybody like that. I mean, you always land on your feet. Mike Bobo, you know, I mean, again, guys always land on their feet in the best conference in America. You know, Napier is a little bit of an outsider. I know he did, you know, coach, you know, again, he wasn't an assistant or a coordinator, you know, at Alabama, but, you know, he does come from kind of more, you know, his main coaching positions are at smaller schools, or, you know, again, like at Arizona State, right? I think he was the OC for Arizona State for a year or two. So, again, he's kind of almost like an oddball from, you know, that standpoint that he's not a lifer as an SEC guy.
Yeah, I think the two, you know, the two hires that come to mind immediately, where you go outside of the region and you bring in guys and it has worked exceptionally well both times, has been at LSU. They went and got Nick Saban, who really, he didn't have ties to the Southeast.
No,
Nick Saban was a Midwest guy.
Yeah,
and they bring him in, and we know the success there. Same thing goes with LSU again. After going with kind of the homegrown guy and Ed Orgeron, now they go get another guy that I don't think really has ties to the Southeast or the SEC in Brian Kelly. And I think so far, so good with Brian Kelly. We'll see what this year holds, but you know, it seems like there's certainly a program that's trending in the right direction. But you're 100% right. I mean, you know, they definitely it's very incestuous, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Kevin Steele, Alabama's defensive coordinator.
Yep.
What is this, two, three times? He's a Tennessee guy, graduated from Tennessee, has coached at Tennessee, was there with Fulmer. He's on his second stop now with Saban. And he's been – heck, I think he was at Auburn recently. So he's another guy that's, you know, knows all the barbecue joints in the Southeast from all the stops that he's had.
You can hear Chris Goforth as part of our pre, post, and halftime show on Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at ChrisGoforth1, and he is in Nashville covering SEC Media Days for 92.9 The Game, and join me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris, my friend, appreciate a few minutes of tonight. We'll try to talk again tomorrow and, you know, see what else goes on as things start to wrap up in the SEC.
Sounds good, man. Look forward to it. Thanks, John.
You got it. As always, Chris, appreciate the time. And when we get back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons Flyover, all your daily news and notes about the Dirty Birds. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature. where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.